Phil Mason Show. Phil Mason Show is on. Is on in five. In five. Four. Four. Three. Three. Two. Two. One. One.
Welcome to the Phil Mason Show. I'm happy to have you here. We're going to talk NBA basketball today. Later on, Joe Mullinax and I will talk Memphis Grizzlies hoops. Colin McEwen will be here to talk fantasy basketball, all those trades, and how they affect fantasy owners. But up first, from IndyCornrows.com, please welcome Tom Lewis to the show. Tom, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
Doing well, Phil. Good talking with you again.
It's good talking with you. I want to apologize in advance if there's any bzzz and I can't get it out. We have a power failure here in Corfu, but the generator is working, as you can probably hear. So
hey, whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes. We're here to talk Pacers basketball. Before I begin, a big shout out to all you folks over at IndyCornrows.com. You guys made my job a lot easier on Thursday night. 5 minutes before I was to go on air, there was a thing across the Twitter wires about Danny Granger being traded. And I immediately went over to Indy Cornrows and said, hey, I got to confirm this. I need help fast. And within 2 seconds, Tom, they had confirmed it for me. Thank you all so much.
Well, that's great. We have a lot of folks who are keeping tabs on everything all the time. And that's part of having a great community of great fans that are really dedicated to the team and always trying to share information.
Well, that's what they did, and I'm really thankful. You know, I comment over from time to time, but they know my voice. They know me, so it's really nice that they helped me out in such a pinch because I had to talk about that, and I was, like, shocked. What was your reaction when that happened?
Shocked. That's a good word. Stunned. I mean, the timing of it, as well as the deal itself, was surprising just because, the news of it broke after the actual deadline. So, according to, the reports, Philly pretty much ran out of gas trying to get a number one pick for Turner, and in the last half hour called up the Pacers and said, okay, we'll take the two and Granger and let's go. So it was a pretty quick negotiation, it sounds like, and very stunning to hear the news, that's for sure.
I was shocked. I didn't believe it, really. That's why I came over right away, because if you didn't know, no one would. And I think it's just the way it is, I know that you're on top of things. Honestly, what did Danny Granger mean to fans? Because they were stunned, too.
Yeah, it was really a bittersweet situation because, in a lot of ways, the team is getting better, having a little more versatility and athleticism with Evan Turner in there. Because as much as we all really wanted the great storybook ending for Granger coming back from the tough injuries after having suffered through some of the worst years with the franchise as a franchise player and being a good soldier. And, we all wanted that storybook ending where he came back, was able to contribute, hopefully to a championship run. But the fact is he had kind of plateaued physically, and it's hard to imagine he was going to continue to get better and better as the year wore on. And I think that was the risk that, Larry Bird wasn't willing to take with this team, and he wanted more assurances that not only was he maybe not going to get better, but, he could have broken down completely, and then they would have been really left in the lurch. So it really is kind of sad to see him go out like this for all he did for the organization through the tough times. But at the end of the day, we know it is a business, and they're in the business of winning games and playing for a championship. And so that was a tough call Bird had to make.
Yeah, it certainly was, because you and a lot of Pacers fans, for me, and I left this comment on your site, I said, for me, the face of the Pacers, this generation of Pacers, the first person I think of is Danny Granger.
Yep.
And that's something else. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, that's, and he was, you know, he came in right when Reggie left, and he was kind of, he was the last remaining player to kind of bridge that team that was a title contender with in the mid-2000s and imploded on itself, and then had to go through a rebuild that was a little different than most, in considering they didn't bottom completely out, but he suffered through that, and then when it was time to start trending back towards title contender, you know, injuries cost him some time, and eventually ended up limiting his career here completely and sending him on his way.
Yep, that's just it. Now, Evan Turner is now a Pacer. What is his role going to be going forward, do you think? Because he's not going to start, obviously.
Right. He'll be, you know, key player off the bench and probably play at least what Granger was playing, you know, 20 to 25 minutes. And depending upon how, you know, things work out, maybe a little more. I don't know. There really aren't that many more minutes to play other than, you know, about 20 to 25. But he can mix and match with, you know, George Hill, Paul George, Lance Stephenson, because he's able to handle the ball. So those four can be interchanged a little bit, and C.J. Watson too, of course. So that's a, you know, kind of a five guard wing rotation that should be able to work together pretty well and give the team some versatility.
Well, he's definitely an improvement over Granger, I think. Only because, you know, he's healthy, he's young, and he has, you know, he was leading the team in scoring over in Philly, so he knows how to put the ball in the hoop. The problem is he shoots. That's how he got his points, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And defensive, he's not good either.
Yeah, he's a different, you know, type of player than Granger, and, you know, I do think he is not overall in his career, but at this point and time, a better player than Granger right now from what we saw from Danny. But it will be interesting to see how he fits in, how his game changes, if it changes at all. The Pacers have such a strong chemistry and a strong, you know, unit of everyone being selfless and giving to the team, and if he can buy into that, and, you know, that might turn his career around. He might not be the guy that relies on just shooting like he was in Philly, and finds other ways to impact the game, because he has a skill set to do that, and he might find that success, and at least he'll be doing it for the rest of this year.
Yep, and the thing is with him, and we'll talk about this on the fantasy part of the show, is with Frank Vogel, if you don't play defense, you're going to sit on the bench.
Right, absolutely, and that's the whole thing. It's effort, defense, sharing the ball, all those things. You know, one reason Rasul Butler is worked his way into the rotation is that he did all those little things, or he does all those little things, that, you know, even though he doesn't play at a high level, he's reliable for Vogel to put out there. And he doesn't have to worry about him, you know, missing assignments or not, you know, running the right plays and that type of a thing. So that's, you know, your backup plan for Evan Turner right now is Rasul Butler. But he is there and someone that will make sure that, you know, Turner isn't sent to the court just by default because there's nobody there. He's going to have to, you know, play well and find a way to fit in and do what the team is asking for him.
All right, let's switch gears. I dropped the ball last week, and I missed this. Slick Leonard, Bobby Slick Leonard, is now a member of the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame, and it's about time. It's about time. The legend himself is living immortalized, I should say, with the legends. What did you make of that one? I know you were happy.
Oh, yeah, it was thrilling. And, you know, it had gotten to the point where he just didn't think he was going to get in. And you know, there's it's just the way it is. That Hall of Fame, that Basketball Hall of Fame, it's in Springfield, Mass. It has a pretty heavy East Coast bias. And for years, you know, Red Auerbach and Slick didn't see eye to eye, and so there were some behind the scenes barriers in his way for many years. But I think it doesn't hurt to have Larry Bird as a go between on that front, and then with the new ABA allotment of a candidate each year, it kind of paved the way. And now the Pacers have three in a row that have gotten in, and Slick is as deserving as any of them, because, you know, the Hall of Fame isn't just the pro Hall of Fame, and his career is has been at a Hall of Fame level. Wherever he's been, he you know, made two free throws to seal up a national championship for IU when he played in college, and then he coached, you know, the best ABA teams, you know, three titles with the Pacers. And really, he did kind of a similar thing. He had a family type unit that he developed, and a group of guys that played better than their talent, and they had some great talent, and they were tough, and you know, really kind of a team similar to what the Pacers are trying to put together now. And then, you know, at one point, he when the Pacers went to the NBA, they were having financial problems. He spearheaded a telethon to save the team until the Simons came around to buy him. And then, of course, in his latter years, he's been a commentator on radio broadcasts, had his signature boom baby call for all Reggie Miller's three-pointers, and is just a basketball legend in this area. And the Hall of Fame nod is very deserving.
That's right. Boom, baby. Now, I personally didn't enjoy hearing all that boom baby stuff when Reggie was doing it to the Knicks, but this guy was a legend. You know, I love the announcers, the radio guys, as you know. You know that for sure, Tom. But
yeah.
And this was, I can't believe I missed it. Congratulations and boom, baby. That's all I got to say on that. Now, this week, you guys can breathe a little bit easier down in Indiana. You got the Lakers, you got the Bucks, you got the Celtics, and you've got the Jazz. Can you take a deep breath here for a minute? Because after that, it doesn't get very much, it isn't much fun.
Yeah, and I mean, they couldn't, you know, this trade timing worked out pretty well, I have to say. This is a good week to try and incorporate some new bodies and into the playing rotation, and you know, they really have to take advantage of these games, because like you say, things start heating up in March, and the Miami is heating up. Obviously, they're playing at an extremely high level now, and not going to go away, and the Pacers got to get these, you know, Turner especially involved and ready to play at a high level to finish out the season strong and maintain their effort to try and win that number one seed.
And that's just it. They need to win that number one seed. That home court, we talked about this since the summer, Tom. That number one seed, that home court advantage is everything. But it should be an interesting week for the guys. I like it. I'm going to say 4-0 this week.
Well, I hope so. And it is nice to have this situation, because, you know, these games might have been a bit of a snooze, but now there's a new dynamic at play and plenty of different storylines to track, regardless of who the opponent is right now.
There absolutely is. Good luck this week. Great stuff as always, Tom. We'll see you next week.
Okay, Phil. Thanks again.
All right. That was Tom Lewis. You can find him over at IndyCornrows.com. Coming up next, Kyle McEwen and I will break down the trade deadline and let you know how big a disaster it was for you fantasy owners. And we'll be right back. You're listening to The Phil Nason Show.
Phil Nason Show will return.
And it's the reason Al Gore invented the internet.
After these brief messages.
Do you know your fantasy sports? Would you like to make money at it? DraftStreet.com and The Phil Nason Show would like to help you get started making money playing fantasy sports today. And we'll even give you the chance to get started making money today for free. On me. That's right. All you have to do is head on over to PhilNasons.com or visit the show notes for this show. Click the Draft Street image at the top of the page and start making money playing fantasy sports at DraftStreet.com today.
If you like baseball, you should be checking out BaseballPodcasts.net. It's one of the best places you can go on the internet to listen to independent baseball talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on our radio player that can be heard around the world. So won't you tune in and give us a listen at BaseballPodcasts.net. You can also listen to the great Phil Nason Show here. See you there at BaseballPodcasts.net.
Are you looking to escape into lands full of fantasy, drama, and adventure? If you are, why not try author K. Metter's books? Their Journey Begins, Journey to Freedom, The Night of the Dixie Wilds, On Top of the Rainbow, and Transcendence will get you there. K. Metter's books are available as an ebook or in paperback, and you can find her at authorkmedor.com. That's authorkmedor.com.
Riveting talk radio.
Everybody get up.
People cannot get away from the internet.
Well,
now.
I think, and it probably comes from porn as well. You
yeah.
know what I mean? That's got to be a big, strong big, thing. Strong
oh, that's thing. Gross. That's disgusting.
It freaks me out.
My cheeks are sealed.
We love talk radio.
Bend over, baby.
Do you see what I'm saying?
WeirdTalkSuperstation.com.
Better than sex.
I don't know how good sex is.
We're going to do a lot of drinking.
Talk radio. Bend over, baby.
That was great.
Brewtown Sports is your source for Brewers news and notes. Join Mr. Brewtown as he keeps you up to date on all the happenings of your Milwaukee Brewers and Major League Baseball. Follow the show on Facebook and Twitter, Brewtown Sports. Listen 24/7 at brewtownsports.podomatic.com.
Central Portugal's only English-speaking information station, this is Epix Radio. Listen online, www.epixradio.com.
Hi, this is Phil Nasons from This Week in Tennis and The Phil Nasons Show. Max Sports Channels offers the best in sports talk radio, as well as great music 24 hours a day. It's my daily destination, and I hope it's yours. The sports talk begins each and every day at 3 p.m. and ends around 9 p.m. Special programming on the weekends, and in between all that, the hottest music on the internet. That's Max Sports Channels. Make it your daily destination.
You're listening to AFR, the Armed Forces Radio Network.
And now, back to the Phil Nason Show.
What a dope. What a maroon.
What is this? What's going on here? What are you people doing here?
Welcome back to the Phil Nason Show. The NBA trade deadline has come and gone, and while most of these players won't have a direct impact on their teams in a drastic way, there's a couple of situations that did impact fantasy basketball owners. And here to talk all about that and more, please welcome from rotowire.com, Kyle McEwen is in the house. Kyle, how you doing, man? Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. The way you introduced me made me feel like I was on Arsenio Hall and I needed to come out like pumping my fist or whatever.
You didn't come out pumping your fist?
No, not right now because I'm sitting. But I kind of wanted to walk out from behind the curtain and be like, you know, whoop, whoop, whoop. Anyways.
I achieved the effect that I was looking for there. Oh, motto on these microphones or something today. I don't know, but anyhow, the trade deadline. Now, I don't know how much you were impacted by any of these moves, but I had Spencer Hawes on one team, and I had Evan Turner on another, and they are not going to give us the production that they were giving with their former team, correct?
That's very correct. The Spencer Hawes thing's worth checking out just because Anderson Varejao is not healthy right now, and Tyler Zeller, obviously he's not going to be a big part of the future for the Cavs if they were, one, rumored to be looking to trade him, and two, were, you know, purposefully going out and finding someone else to play center. So Spencer Hawes might maintain his value. You might even see him play a little bit better due to the fact that the Cavs, as bad as they are a little bit better than what the Philadelphia 76ers are. I think we saw over the last 2 months the dip in production from Spencer Hawes seemed to be connected to the fact that he seemed to be more disgruntled with the fact that the team was just kind of in tank mode or just unable to compete with teams on a night-to-night basis. So being on a team that's right now had a good successful stretch, I think there were six straight games there that the Cavaliers won, you might see Spencer Hawes get a little bit more reinvigorated playing on the Cavs. So he's somebody to maybe hold on to, but you're going to have to watch and see what happens. Evan Turner, though, that's much harder position for Evan Turner to gain good, consistent value on the Indiana Pacers because there's so many good players ahead of him. Whether you're talking about Paul George, Lance Stephenson, or David West, Evan Turner's got the versatility to play the three wing spots of point guard, shooting guard, and small forward, but it's hard to imagine a player with his talents taking over minutes from any of the guys that are currently in the rotation right now. So those 22 minutes that Danny Granger was getting off the bench, you'll probably see those be given to Evan Turner. But at the same time, there's a possibility that the team ends up looking at what he can offer them and just says, you know what, you're not giving us the things we need off the bench right now. We're going to look in a different direction, because the one big bugaboo about Evan Turner as a whole in the NBA is the fact that he doesn't have a three-point shot, even though he's a guard wing player. And then he also doesn't play the greatest of defense or hasn't been known to play great defense. It'll be interesting to see that just from a basketball perspective, if Evan Turner's the perception of him changes with the fact that he's actually playing on a good team now in Indiana.
And that's just it. You know, the thing is with Indiana, they are defensive first. And Evan Turner isn't exactly a defensive specialist. He shoots, and he shoots a lot. He shot a lot for Philadelphia. He's not going to get those opportunities in Indiana, especially if he doesn't play defense. And that one sucked, because I was getting good production out of him. And I wound up putting him on the bench because I'm not quite sure what I want to do with him just yet.
That's the thing, you know, any of these moves that result in your player potentially having less production the rest of the season, don't just drop them just to drop them. You have to drop them if you find a player that you think is going to have better production the rest of the year. So if you're going out there and you say, okay, you know what, Danny Granger looks like he might have good value if he stays with Philadelphia, then you go out and maybe you grab a Danny Granger and that gives you reason to drop Evan Turner. But if you have somebody else who's been more of a kind of a crutch for you, maybe you drop them too. So don't make a move just to make a move. Make a move because you think it makes your team better. And I mean, it's generally important to exercise patience with your fantasy team. You know, it's always good to wait and see on things rather than make that reactionary move where you're going out and picking up a guy just because he put up a lot of stats in only 20 minutes or something like that.
That's exactly right. And that's the mistake a lot of people made and have made. And I've made them. We've all made that mistake.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, Spencer Hawes, I keep him. I'm not getting rid of him because with Varejao out, he's going to get his minutes. He put up a decent line for his first night with Cleveland. I believe he put up 7 points, three blocks, three assists, and 10 rebounds. So he gave you something. It wasn't what he was giving you before, but there are certainly a lot of people out there who will give you a lot less And I'm just not going to do it. Not going to get rid of him, dude.
No, you definitely need to hang on to him right now and just wait and see what happens. Because it is, even though he only played 26 minutes, that was in his debut with the Cavaliers. So if they're willing to give him 26 minutes in his debut, once he gets acclimated and put more into the system, there's the potential there for even greater minutes for Spencer Hawes. At the same time, you do have to just caution that down the road, if Varejao's healthy and they're giving him minutes, there will be less minutes available for Hawes. Ultimately, though, it's just one of those situations where, unfortunately, you kind of have to do the wait and see thing, and your perception of it, what it is right now, the situation with Hawes and the way it might be in a week or so, could be completely different. So you might have to be put into another position where you're going to have to make another decision with that same player.
Exactly right. You're preaching to the choir, and I'm sure a lot of people out there are saying amen when they heard that. And some people are going, oh man, I lost a lot of production. You know, another player that this is an interesting situation as well is Danny Granger. And you would think a player like Danny Granger would come into Philadelphia and light the house on fire. He'd be an automatic pickup. But unfortunately, he's not, because you don't know what's going to happen with him.
Exactly. And the way it looks right now, we just saw Danny Granger sat out practice or did not practice Sunday. So he got into Philadelphia on Saturday, did his physical with the team, and it seemed like, okay, steps are being moved in a certain direction to say he's going to end up being available to play for them. But it looks like he's pushing for a buyout, like he doesn't want to play for them. I would like to see Danny Granger play for Philadelphia purely from a selfish standpoint, because I want to see him go out and put up all-star numbers on a crappy team for this season, because it means more for me in fantasy. While we look at the kind of teams that are potentially rumored to be out there and available and wanting to sign him, if he does get a buyout from the Philadelphia Sixers, you're looking at Miami or the Clippers, you know, San Antonio. Teams that don't necessarily have a lot of minutes to be able to give him. So if Danny Granger goes to one of these other teams, he's going to be in the same situation he was with Indiana, if not worse, as far as being able to get good, consistent minutes on a nightly basis. So while Danny Granger's probably the best speculative ad right now, the best flyer pickup at this moment, it's looking less and less likely that he's going to be put in a situation to provide really good fantasy value this season. So if something else arises, or you see somebody else on the waiver wire become available in the next couple days, and we still don't have a bead on what's going to happen with Danny Granger, I think you got to make that move to drop him. I did drop Danny Granger in one of my leagues earlier today when I was setting my weekly lineup, purely from the fact that I needed to get a healthy guy in there. So it's definitely somebody I think should be owned as a flyer, but he's not going to be owned if it makes your team worse for this coming week.
Well, if he doesn't play, it makes my team worse.
Absolutely.
I have to win, man. Yeah, that's just the way it is. I dropped Danny Granger a long time ago. I had him in one team, one league that I had him in when he got hurt again or whatever. But, man, if he plays for – now, if he plays for Philadelphia for the rest of the season, and it could happen, then grab him faster than you can say Kyle MacEwen.
Yeah, right when the trade happened, I was tweeting out, you know, go pick up Granger in every league, and people were tweeting back at me, why are you joking? Are you being serious? And I was like, no, I was like, I'm dead serious. He was the best name to come out of the trade deadline as far as ceiling-wise, the highest level of potential. This is the guy who, I believe, scored 25.8 points in one season. Not saying he'd do anything close to that with the Sixers or on any team now, because he's kind of just broken down. But look at that Sixers roster. It's brutal. It's Thaddeus Young and Michael Carter-Williams, and we've seen Michael Carter-Williams kind of get run into the ground so far this season, as we've seen his steals numbers drop off, his pretty much all of his numbers across the board drop off, his efficiencies drop off. So really it's Thad Young's team right now, and then there's the opportunity for any number of guys to kind of step up on that squad and put up good production. So when you see somebody of Danny Granger's talent level go there, you start to imagine exactly how big of a boost that could be to the end of your bench in a fantasy team.
That's exactly right. Man, well, you know, when that trade came up, we were 5 minutes before going on air, and I was trying to confirm it, and I saw your tweets, and I went over to Indy Cornrows, because if Tom Lewis doesn't know what's happened with Indiana, nobody does. And they confirmed it for me like 10 seconds before I hit the air, and that's a good thing. But I was pretty excited, man, because I'm thinking I'm going to grab him while everyone's asleep.
Yep.
It didn't happen, and I still haven't. The other one that was interesting to me that probably hurt a lot of people too was the Steve Blake trade. Now, what do you do with Steve Blake? Now, he's played two games already with Golden State, and he hasn't really played that much, 16, 18 minutes. He's not going to start. He's not going to crack that lineup unless something happens to Steph Curry. He contributes a bit. What do you do with him? Do you keep him?
It depends on what you need. If you're playing in a deeper league, you know, 14, 16, 18 teams, then you probably can use Steve Blake, because there's the potential there for him to provide really good assist numbers based on the number of minutes that he'll be playing. And we saw in his second game with Golden State on Saturday that he put up 5 assists in 16 minutes. You're right, though. When you've got a player who's playing under 20 minutes per night, it has to be a very deep league where you're using him. So only in those exceptionally deep leagues. If you're playing in a standard 10 or 12 team league, I wouldn't bother with Steve Blake. He's one of those guys who, you know, he can put up pretty good stats when he's getting regular starters type minutes, anywhere from 28 to 36. However, so essentially what you're going to do with him is you'll put him on your watch list. You're not going to own him right now. But if you ever see that there's an injury to Steph Curry or maybe Klay Thompson or Andre Iguodala, then you can look toward Blake to say, all right, he's probably going to become a bigger part of the rotation now. I can go out and add him in maybe my 12-team leagues.
That's exactly what I would do. No question. Now, the last one, we've got a couple minutes left, Kyle. Andre Miller. What do you do with Andre? Because he hasn't played at all in 2013. He hasn't played much at all.
Yeah, he was on the Denver Nuggets this season, and they were slowly moving him out of the rotation to the point that he got a coach's decision DNP one night, or rather, he saw that developing. He saw it was, I think it was in the third quarter of the game one night. He decides he's going to stand up off the bench and just start yelling at his coach Brian Shaw, and they ended up excusing him. They told him just to go home. You're not going to be a part of the team. We're going to try and trade you. It took about 2 months for that trade to actually happen, but Andre Miller was moved to the Washington Wizards. He's going to back up John Wall. Unfortunately, those backups, they're not going to get enough minutes to be of use in regular leagues. John Wall has a pretty good track record of staying healthy. I know he had issues last season, but for the course of his career, he's been pretty good for the most part. And John Wall plays a lot of minutes. So you're not going to see Andre Miller be of use in anything but very, very deep leagues, talking 14, 16-team type leagues.
Yep, I couldn't agree with you more. Last year, Andre Miller lit it up a couple times toward the end of the season, and he helped put me over the edge. I picked him up on a flyer, and it was a beautiful thing. But I'm not touching that thing. Not over there. No thanks. Kyle, great stuff tonight. Thank you so much for being on the show with me.
Thanks a lot for having me on, Phil. Appreciate it.
All right. That was Kyle McEwen. You can find him over at rotowire.com, or you can hit him up on Twitter at rotowirenbakyle. Coming up next, Joe Mullinax and I will be talking Memphis Grizzly basketball, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Phil Nason Show.
The Phil Nason Show will return.
And it's the reason Al Gore invented the internet.
After these brief messages.
Hi, this is Phil Nasons from This Week in Tennis and The Phil Nasons Show. Max Sports Channels offers the best in sports talk radio, as well as great music 24 hours a day. It's my daily destination, and I hope it's yours. The sports talk begins each and every day at 3 p.m. and ends around 9 p.m. Special programming on the weekends. And in between all that, the hottest music on the internet. That's Max Sports Channels. Make it your daily destination.
Hi, this is Gary Mack of Mets Musings, and I hope you'll join me each and every week as I recap all of the comings and goings on in New York Mets baseball. I'll have guests on from all across Mets Nation giving their insights and analysis on the New York Mets. And you can follow me on Twitter at MetsMusings1, as well as on Facebook. Group name is Mets Musings. So tune in weekly to the Mets Musings, available at MetsMusings.com, Stitcher.com, iTunes.com, iHeartRadio, and of course, BaseballTalkRadio.com, the home of great baseball talk shows.
Riveting talk radio.
Everybody get up.
People cannot get away from the internet.
Well, no. I think, and it probably comes from porn as well. You know what I mean? That's got to be a big, strong thing.
Oh, that's gross. That's disgusting.
That freaks me out. My cheeks are sealed.
We love talk radio.
Bend over, baby.
Do you see what I'm saying?
WeirdTalkSuperstation.com.
Better than sex.
I don't know how good sex is.
We're going to do a lot of drinking.
Dog radio. Bend over, baby.
That was great.
Are you a fan of historical fiction? If you are, then why not try author Mary Ann Bernal's The Briton and the Dane series of historical fiction novels. You can purchase these novels from her website at www.maryannebernal.com. That's www.maryannebernal.com.
Central Portugal's only English-speaking information station, this is Epics Radio. Listen online, www.epicsradio.com.
Do you know your fantasy sports? Would you like to make money at it? DraftStreet.com and The Phil Nason Show would like to help you get started making money playing fantasy sports today. And we'll even give you the chance to get started making money today for free. On me. That's right. All you have to do is head on over to PhilNasons.com or visit the show notes for this show. Click the Draft Street image at the top of the page. And start making money playing fantasy sports at DraftStreet.com today.
You're listening to AFR, the Armed Forces Radio Network.
And now, back to the Phil Nason Show.
Now here it is, your moment of zen.
Welcome back to the Phil Nason Show. The Memphis Grizzlies. Well, they're doing better than they've been, and that's a great thing. They've won four out of the last five games, and joining me to talk all about that and more from GrizzlyBearBlues.com, please welcome Joe Mullinax to the Phil Nason Show. Joe, how you doing, man? Welcome to the show.
I'm doing well, Phil. Just another beautiful day here in Memphis. We've had great weather this past weekend, so it's been nice to get out and about after the deep freeze of the past. You know, this winter's been pretty rough. So Memphians were out and about this weekend, and it was nice to see. Friday night was a big night for the Grizzlies playing against the Clippers, so there were a lot of folks out for that. So it's been a good weekend.
Yeah, well, I like to apologize in advance for if there's a little zinger noise coming out of my microphone. We've had a storm here, and the power's out, and this is a generator keeping this place in power. And unfortunately, the vibration is just, I can't do anything about it. I'll try to knock most of it out, though, I promise. But anyhow, what's going on over at GrizzlyBearBlues.com?
Well, we've had a busy week. GrizzlyBearBlues.com is trying to expand its media reach a little bit. We're not just doing the writing as much. Obviously, that's still the main thing that we do. But we started about a month and a half ago, Grizzly Bear Blues Live, which is a podcast that we record once a week. Usually it's on Thursday nights. This coming week it's going to be on a Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Central Time. And we've had all sorts of different guests come down the line. You know, big names like Phil Nasons has been on the show in the past. Kevin Leip, who's been a guest on this show, your show. He's also been a guest with us on the podcast, Grizzly Bear Blues Live. And we do that over at Blog Talk Radio. And if your listeners would do us a big favor and come check us out, give us a chance. Like I said, this week we record on Tuesday night, but you can listen to it archived on the Blog Talk page, Grizzly Bear Blues Live, and give it a listen. It would be much appreciated. We talk a lot of Grizzlies talk over there, obviously. And then also, in addition to that, Chris Faulkner, our managing editor, and Keith Edwards, one of our staff or one of our other editors, has started live recaps of games. So just a different way to get a recap. You know, obviously reading is good, but at the same time, you maybe don't get the tone of something. You don't get the complete picture that maybe you would get with an interview after a game. So it's like a post-game show, and they've done that a couple of times this week. So give that a listen as well. They did one for the Knicks game, and then they also did one for the Bobcats game a couple of nights ago. So give those both a listen. Tony Allen returned this week. So they did. Chris Faulkner did a piece about seven moments that only happen with Tony Allen. You know, Tony Allen is one of the more unique talents in the NBA. So give that a read if you have time. And there's plenty of work over there that all of the writers that are and contributors, they do a great job. So come and support the site, give it a read and a listen. Those the Grizzly Bear Blues Live podcast and those live recaps. They're all worth your time.
They absolutely are. I was a guest, I think, on show number two, and I had a great time. You can call in and talk to the guys and ask questions and do what you got to do. It's a great show. Get over there and check it out. You can get the link over at grizzlybearblues.com. Now, Lionel Hollins. What in the world? Why does Lionel Hollins continually diss the Memphis Grizzlies? I don't understand why he seems to want to diss them as often as he does.
Well, it's confusing. And there's Chris, and that's a great tie-in with another piece over at the site, Chris Faulkner. He wrote up a little something about Lionel Hollins in the interview that they did in the local news. I believe it was Fox 13 here in Memphis. And he does a sit-down interview with one of their anchors. And he does just kind of continue to, you know, just kind of diss them for lack of or rip them. And it doesn't make a ton of sense. He's not ever going to be rehired by the Memphis Grizzlies. It's not going to happen. So I don't understand why he keeps harping on this. It negatively affects the mood of the city, because believe it or not, even with the recent resurgence, as you said, the Grizzlies won four of their last five games. They have one of the best records in the NBA since the middle of December. So they're coming along a couple of nights ago, loss to the Charlotte Bobcats notwithstanding. They're doing some better things than they've done in the past. And as they prepare to go on this big run that they're going to need to go on if they hope to make the playoffs, conjuring up those feelings in the fan base is kind of counterproductive at this point, especially for somebody who insists that he still wants to be an NBA coach. And it doesn't make sense when you're linked to jobs like in Detroit. Mo Cheeks was just let go, one of Lionel Hollins' close friends, apparently. And that's a job that there were rumors that he might be interested in. And yet you keep coming out in public and dissing the people that wrote your checks, that hired you, that were responsible for you being employed by that organization. The thing that frustrated me getting in conversations with people that were pro-Lionel, none of the negativity, aside from maybe some late game schemes and offensive, was towards him as a coach. He is a damn good coach. That's not the problem. The problem is he had zero respect for his employer. You can't go out in public after the Rudy Gay trade on national television and say you can't have a champagne taste on a beer budget or something along those lines, basically insinuating that your employers are cheap, and expect to keep your job. If I went out in front of the whole school, I'm a teacher and a coach. If I went out and said, "Hey, you can't have a great program, you know, on a beer budget with champagne taste," I'd be fired the next day. I probably wouldn't come back to work. So my issue with Lionel is that he just doesn't understand, at least, or he doesn't care. And he's a smart man, so he probably doesn't care that his words and the way that he interacted with the public and the front office, especially starting with that Rudy K trade on down, and other comments he made. He said that he didn't have a big. He needed a big. He was lacking a big. When Ed Davis hadn't played in multiple games, and Ed Davis is a guy who would probably start on 10 of the 30 teams in the National Basketball Association right now, and he's the fourth best big on this Grizzlies team as currently constructed. Last season, you can argue he was the third best at this point, and yet he wasn't being played. So Lionel continues to dig his own hole. He still has his supporters here in Memphis, but it's really confusing how he expects to be hired by somebody else and that he still continues to dig at his former employers. I wouldn't hire him.
Yeah, I don't know. You know what, though? Here's the thing. He was asked, what about the players? How did Hollins end his career with the Grizzlies players? Zach Randolph, who was doubted at first by the fans, Mark Gasol, and Tony Allen. And this is what he had to say. I saw them as having their own vision, own plan. I could take them not wanting me, but I couldn't take them trying to destroy my reputation and credibility. Now, this is the issue that I have. They got to the Western Conference Finals. It's not like they pulled a Josh Smith and Joe Johnson and just quit on their coach. They played hard every night. The problem with Lionel is it was his way or the highway. And unfortunately, the only time you can get away with that is when it's your business.
Sure. I mean, it wasn't his organization. He was a holdover coach from a previous front office and a previous owner. You have to find a way to work with the people that are responsible for you being employed. And Lionel, for whatever reason, like you said, it was his way or the highway. And it turned out to be the highway for him. There was no compromise. He was going to do things his way. And that's admirable to an extent, but you also shouldn't be surprised, because for every action, there's a reaction. And you can make yours a positive one in this life, or you can make yours a negative one. Lionel has done plenty of positive things. He's a good coach. He'll probably find another job in the future, but it's just negative action after negative action when it comes to this Grizzlies front office, and negative comment after negative comment. And negativity is the only thing that's going to keep following that. I think it's best for all sides involved to just move on. Dave Yeager is the future of this organization, at least for the time being. And Lionel should start to focus on his future and move on from the past.
Well, let's hope so. Now, it's time for us to move on, Joe. The game against the Clippers, I watched the replay on Sunday morning. I finally got around to watching it. And I got to tell you, they did win and they played really well. But the officiating in that basketball game was so bad. Every time they blew the whistle, it was a foul on Memphis. It was strange. What did you make of that game?
Well, I got to go to that game in person. I went, my brother was in town here in Memphis for the weekend, so my wife and he and I went to that game, and it was a lot of fun, first off. I mean, the Grizzlies and the Clippers are one of the best rivalries in the NBA right now, if not the best. You can make arguments for other ones. Miami, Indiana comes to mind just off the top of my head, and that'll be a heck of a series when they meet up in the Eastern Conference in the playoffs. But I think Grizzlies and Clippers, for my money, is the best. I mean, these are two teams that just genuinely do not like each other. And when it comes to Blake Griffin and Zach Randolph, Blake Griffin is having a transcendent season. He's taken the next step. He's a superstar in this league legitimately. He's not just a media production people hyping him to hype him. He's fantastic. But for some reason, Zach Randolph is in his head, and it's remarkable. Whether it's defending him, whether it's scoring on him, Blake had a great first quarter. But after that, Griffin kind of faded, and part of that was James Johnson having a hell of a game. That off-the-backboard dunk that he did, SportsCenter top 10 play, was remarkable to see in person. But Z-Bo is in Blake's head, and that pays dividends for the Grizzlies whenever these two teams meet. But as far as the officiating, it was rough. It really was, especially in the second half. The foul shooting differential was remarkable. I believe it was like 43-15 in favor of the Clippers. And Blake Griffin and Chris Paul are masters of this move where they'll dribble and they'll drive on a defensive player, and then they'll use their forearm to get a little push. And it's subtle, but it's enough to make contact. And then they know that they're big enough stars, or that they're big enough, you know, they will get the benefit of the doubt on a lot of those calls. And that frustrated a lot of the Grizzlies fans. Now, the Grizzlies, when it comes to, if people are being fair, you hear this song and dance about the Grizzlies repeatedly, the foul shooting differential. Is it the referees just picking on the Grizzlies, or is it a combination of things in which they don't move their feet enough, or they're slapping at the ball too much and they're not playing proper defense? I think it's a combination. I mean, there were some fouls where, yeah, they were questionable, but you also shouldn't have put yourself in that position by reaching, if that makes sense. So it's a combination. I thought it was not a very well officiated second half. And anytime there's a double technical, and they almost always happen in Grizzlies and Clippers games, I believe this time it was against Chris Paul and Courtney Lee that they issued double techs to. To me, that's a cop-out. That's just that's like saying that you've lost control of the game to me. So I think that while it wasn't very well officiated, the Grizzlies found a way to win. They did it through the efforts of a James Johnson in the second quarter, who had a terrific game, especially a fantastic second quarter. They did it through Mike Miller, who has really come alive these past few games, scoring double-digit points his past three games, I believe. And the bench has really begun to produce more. Kostas Koufos has had some solid games, and they're helping the starters, who maybe start a little more slowly for whatever reason, not lose a lead or not, you know, get so far out of a game that they can't make a run back. Now, the Charlotte game is a different story, but as far as the Clippers go, they were close enough that where they made their run and they were able to stay out in front. And that was a big win at home, a win that the Grizzlies needed. And the Grizzlies will need every win they can get moving forward in this sprint to the playoffs.
Oh, absolutely. You know, the one that got me was when Calates, and it's Calates, not Calates.
Calates. Okay,
Calates. Good. And anyhow, I heard a rumor that some Greek guy called him Calates, and the next thing I know, my Twitter wire blew up. Phil, how do you pronounce it? And this is the way I always pronounce it. I don't know. I'm going to ask Nick myself. I asked Kevin to do that, too. But when Calates stripped the ball clean in the fourth quarter, it was a great steal, and he got called for the foul, and he isn't an emotional guy toward referees, but he let that referee have it, and rightly so. It was just a strange game. We've got about a minute left, Joe, but it was a good game. You know what? The Clippers games are always great. This week coming up is not so bad. The Lakers at home, and then on the road Friday against Oklahoma City. Saturday at home again against Cleveland. It should be a good week. If they can take 2 out of 3 this week, they're going to be okay, I think.
And they need to continue to take care of their own business. The scoreboard watching kind of mentality, that can't last. You're not going to last very long doing that, whether you're watching Dallas or whether you're watching Golden State or Phoenix, the teams that are in front of you. You have to take care of your business and make sure that you're winning games for any of that to go forward. They just need to, as cliche as it sounds, take it one game at a time and make sure that they're winning their game so that they can climb the ladder as quickly as possible.
Absolutely. Great stuff today, Joe. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Not a problem, Phil. Always happy to be on.
It's my pleasure. Thank you. You find Joe over at grizzlybearblues.com, and that's going to wrap it up for today's Phil Nason Show. I want to thank all my guests who are struggling with me through generator hell, but we got through it. Tomorrow we're going to talk Utah Jazz basketball, Portland Trailblazers basketball. Rip City is back, baby, and we've got him here finally. And then we're going to look at the Western Conference and some bubble teams, including Memphis. Until then, y'all take care of yourselves. Be good, and most importantly...
Ladies and gentlemen, my mother thanks you, my father thanks you, my sister thanks you, and I thank you.
You've just listened to a pre-recorded edition of The Phil Nason Show. If you'd like to contact me, you can do so at philnasons.com. If you'd like to advertise, you can do the same. Contact me at philnasons.com. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. Thanks for listening and see you next time.